It's always instructive, I think, to look at where a historical reality began. T.S. Eliot, the poet, remarks at the beginning of one of his poems, East Coker, "In my beginning is my end." And that idea that in some way our lives are contained in our origins, in our first moments, is something that we can apply to pretty much all the human institutions that we live in. To look at the very early stages of Christianity, to see how Christian faith and self-understanding grew through the first couple of centuries, is always instructive as a guide to reform and renewal in the life of any Christian group. So I hope that these lectures can help us understand how we now live as believing Christians by looking at the place that we come from, at the world, at the community, at the major figures that characterize the start of Christianity. It's often said that Christianity began in a favorable time and in a favorable place. It lived, it came to existence in a world that was to some degree unified by being together what we think of as the Roman Empire. To imagine the Roman Empire, it's good simply to visualize in your own mind what constituted that political unity. It was a federation of peoples and nations of different languages, different origins, gathered roughly around the Mediterranean in Europe and the Near East. It stretched from Mauritania today to northeastern Turkey, from northern Arabia and Palestine to Britain. One might imagine flying over the Mediterranean, starting somewhere over Iraq and moving west, over the Middle East, over Turkey and the Balkans, up over the Danube Basin, over Germany and northern Italy, over France and Holland and the Low Countries, into England, and then down over France and Spain, and then over northern Africa, Mauritania, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya and Egypt, back into Palestine and Arabia. That large area with all the islands and peninsulas that are contained in the middle really was the geographical extent of the Roman Empire. It comprised, as we've said already, a number of different languages, ethnic groups, immigrant groups, people who had been settled there for a long time. And yet, through the few centuries before the start of the Christian era, it was gradually unified by Roman conquest and Roman administration into a single political system. There was a single network of roads, as is often commented on, a single transportation system that enabled people, sometimes more easily than others, to get from the northwest to the southeast without too much trouble. There was a single legal system that had been codified through the ages, and that was administered by a fairly well-constructed system of courts. And of course, there was a large Roman army, which occupied the outlying districts, which incorporated new peoples into itself, so that there was a path of assimilation, at least for men, into the governmental system that they lived in. The Roman Empire was large and in many periods was dysfunctional. It was characterized on the local level by corruption, by bribery, by maladministration. And yet, it also seems to have been quite effective over its centuries in bringing together a lot of people under a single set of ideals and a single social and legal system. Since the time of Augustus, in the period just before the birth of Jesus, in the 20s, before the Common Era, the Roman Empire had been a military dictatorship. Emperors succeeded emperors without a consistent practice of succession. In the 3rd century of our era, most emperors didn't die natural deaths, but were forcibly overthrown in a military coup. The army was the key to power, as in many places in our present-day world.